Welcome, everyone. This is the LaRouche Show, Saturday, May 23rd, 2009. My name is Marcia Mary Baker. Our topic for today is Who's Who Behind the Obama Administration Hitler Health Plan. We're not exaggerating. That's what we're facing. I want to just point out that we're gathered this weekend, May 23rd, in what's in the United States commemorated as Memorial Day weekend in remembrance of those who have given their lives for both the United States as a republic and for the principle of nationhood. And what we face at this particular time, day, and year is that the United States is itself on the line under attack, and the principle of nation states also, dire attack. Now, this is coming directly from, or it's involving those directly in and around the White House, around the institution of the presidency. It has an international pedigree. It's connected very much with the Anglo-British or Anglo-Dutch kind of neo-British empire. And by the people I'm talking about, I mean Lawrence Summers, Peter Orszag, Nancy Ann DeParle, Dr. Ezekiel Emanuel. There are other people. These are all people involved in what they euphemistically call healthcare reform. We'll get to that. But what's involved is that this so-called reform is actually a cover name for taking moves to literally kill off people, to literally deny healthcare treatment, to as part of a whole panoply of measures that would also cut off people's expected pensions, their Social Security, their retirement, that would also, and while at the same time, be giving trillions, if you've been just reading the headlines, to banks, to hedge funds, to a bunch of vulture funds, to these shells that used to be our automobile sector companies, Chrysler, General Motors. So this isn't merely unfair. This is a catastrophe, and it's a question of the civilization being online. Now, there's a certain timetable to the topic about who's who doing evil that's involved in the Hitler health care plan. Congress in the United States is now back in their home districts, or otherwise they're not in Washington, because there's a whole week of recess for Congress in honor of Memorial Day. But in June, when they reassemble, there is in waiting probably a whole draft bill, a piece of legislation for what President Obama has been calling for months, a comprehensive health care reform plan, working through especially the Senate side. Senator Baucus, Max Baucus from Montana, who's best called these days Senator Bogus, and Senator Grassley from Iowa, who ought to know better but doesn't. And so this is what we're here to discuss in order to combat it. And I'm very glad that we have a transatlantic panel of people who are leading the charge. We have with us from near Washington, D.C., from the headquarters of the LaRouche Political Action Committee, LaRouche Youth Movement, Diana Wong. Welcome, Diana.
Hey.
And I know she's been involved especially in the LPAC TV spots on this very topic. And in Europe, from Berlin in Germany, I'm glad to welcome Dr. Wolfgang Lilge. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you very much.
It's a good connection. And Dr. Lilge is running for office on June 7th. There are elections in Germany for the German Parliament, the European Parliament.
That's right. Yeah.
And in September, right, it's the German Parliament of Germany, correct, that you're running also?
Yeah, that's right. The federal elections on September 27th, yes.
So this is a long-time activist physician, and I welcome you back to the show. And here in the studio, I'm very glad to have Tony Chaikin. Welcome, Tony.
Hi.
Who many of you know for leading the charge on exposing the pedigree and the history of what we're facing now. So, Tony, let's start with you. If you want to summarize, I had mentioned that President Obama talks about the comprehensive health reform plan, but please put us in the know to kind of summarize what we're up against here.
All right. So, Obama, unfortunately, continued the bailouts of the Wall Street and London and offshore criminals with trillions of dollars under the advice of a group of what are called behavioral economists, headed by Larry Summers, chief economic advisor, and Peter Orszag, the budget director. And now, in the latest horrifying chapter of this disaster, as the collapse continues in the banking system, they're proposing, and Obama is pushing this, to take trillions of dollars out of healthcare in America and use the money that is saved by denying healthcare to the elderly, the sick, the poor, the non-white, and so forth. I mean, this is what we're talking about here, trillions, and to give that money to the bankers. This is historically based on the principle that Adolf Hitler announced at the beginning of World War II, when he personally issued a decree saying that, and I'll read you the order, it's under the title of The Destruction of Lives Unworthy of Life. He gave this to his Dr. Karl Brandt. He says, Brandt and another fellow are charged with the responsibility for expanding the authority of doctors to be designated by name, that patients considered incurable, according to the best available human judgment of their state of health, can be accorded a mercy death. Special killing centers were set up, the T4 centers, and thousands, hundreds of thousands of Germans were executed by the state to save money. This included mentally ill people, retarded people, crippled people, and so forth. These killing centers and this program was later expanded to do racial killing of Jews and other people and political prisoners. The Obama program, run by Orszag and these behavioral economists, is based on this idea of euthanasia, for which we put people, actually put them to death at Nuremberg, under the Nuremberg tribunals. Now, we have, in April, the LaRouche Political Action Committee and Executive Intelligence Review have been doing a crash study of who is doing this, what is going on here, how did Obama get his swelled head involved with these Nazis? And we have made a series of discoveries that have been put before the public and are being relayed right into the White House. All this stuff is going all over the government. What LaRouche is saying about this and our publications, the videos being made by the LaRouche, all of these are getting out very broadly. So we're headed for a complete showdown on this. I have been happily enough involved in doing counterintelligence on this from the beginning of this. And I wanted to today go through a little bit of the discoveries that we have made and to show you what is where this comes from, that this is just, I'll just say two principles of it. Number one, this is coming from a specific clique of people called behavioral economists. And it is financed there, that clique is financed, and all of this work to give you this Nazi economics is financed by and guided by the British, by foundations that were set up by the British inside the United States, and by people in both the United States and Britain who favored Adolf Hitler, who favored Mussolini, who sponsored those people's rise to power, and who were dedicated to the Nazi cause. This is behind both these economists, Orszag, Summers. And there's a continual British control and British model for this, and a continual influence by people who are hysterically pro-Nazi on the euthanasia question, on all aspects of tradition and history. So this is what we're dealing with. This is not just idly comparing Obama to Hitler. That's not the point. We are right now fighting to stop and determined to crush a group of real fanatical Nazis that are in the White House guiding this policy. They mean to have this passed by July. We mean to crush them and have them thrown out and force Obama to step back on this and face reality and do a Franklin Roosevelt so we can put those banks in bankruptcy, not pay them a penny, and go back to American system principles.
Thank you. Well, we want to get into, we'll certainly pursue this more. Why don't, right here from Berlin, Wolfgang, why don't you throw in, while the battle is joined here in Washington, D.C. and all around the United States, you have a whole parallel fight, right, that traces back, I presume, to these British-backed networks that we're talking about for the health care as a right to life. Could you speak about that? What's happened?
Yeah, sure. I'm really pretty much shocked about these recent developments in the United States. But at the same time, I also know that it's really the lawful development of the breakdown crisis in which we are in the middle of. If that is not stopped, it will lawfully, as in Germany in the 30s, end up in fascism. And that is exactly the fight we are on. And what I can report from Germany is that we are basically on the same way again, unfortunately. So the German health system is on the verge of collapse, and there's such a massive underfunding in the system that there is already right now a massive rationing triage policy going on, which is hidden so far, which is not really in the open. Doctors and hospitals and people responsible in the healthcare system have to decide basically on a daily basis of who is getting the scarce funding, who is treated, who is not treated as well as possible, and these kind of things. And I'm actually somewhat optimistic still that we can win this fight because there's a lot of resistance now coming up, especially in the doctors' community in Germany. So as was mentioned already, there was this last week, there was the federal, the national conference of the German Doctors Association taking place in Mainz in Germany. Where the president of that association, Professor Hoppe, made a really provocative intervention into this debate, so that he actually demanded that this type of rationing and triage is being put on the open table, and that there's a political debate about it, how we can solve that problem. We are, because it's simply a matter of policy that for a long, long time in Germany this kind of underfunding is taking place, and the government over years and years had made up schemes that actually not the political decisions are taken to ration things, but this is left to actually the doctors and the healthcare system itself, and that is now on the verge of not functioning anymore. So there will be a massive debate, there will be strikes, there will be uproars in the medical community, which is to be expected now to actually demand a solution to the problem. The doctors themselves, of course, are not really, let's say it mildly, they are no good economists. they actually don't, also Hoppe himself, who is actually a bright guy, and he's defending human rights and the dignity of man very, very much. But he doesn't understand. He also openly said in an interview, which actually Helga Zepp-LaRouche made with him the last couple of days, he said that there is no direct connection between the financial breakdown and the healthcare crisis. So somehow he knows and has an idea about, but they are very timid. drawing that conclusion, and then by themselves also demanding that we only can have a product, that we only can have a functioning health insurance health system when there is a productive economy going, and we have development, scientific progress, and these kind of things back on the agenda. So, and in that sense, there's a debate, an open debate also, in which we will intervene from our side with the Club of Life, which is still existing in Germany, which is a very good thing, to assist the political campaign which we have with the BÜSO, the Bürgerrechtsbewegung Solidarität here in Germany, to bring that health issue on the agenda, on the political agenda, in the next couple of months, going into the federal elections.
Thank you. Let me throw in here that Wolfgang Lilger, who's just been speaking, was part of the team, the co-founders with Lyndon LaRouche's wife, Helga Zepp LaRouche, in Germany, and with Nancy Spanis, our editor-in-chief of Executive Intelligence News Service, founder of an international organization called the Club of Life, back in 1982. Is that correct, Wolfgang?
Yes, that's correct. That was especially in the situation where we confronted the Club of Rome, the Malthusian and genocidal Club of Rome, with their policy, and wanted to have a counterpoint to that oligarchical organization. And we actually were very successful at the time to rally actually a worldwide movement to counter the zero growth policy, this cultural pessimism which was associated with that, and to really bring forward the human rights, dignity of man, and the inalienable rights of man. So that is the policy, and there's a tradition which we are keeping up and holding up until now. And I think that is still absolutely the key for formulating future policy to really have an image of man which is worthwhile to fight for.
Thank you. And let me just say, you referred to Helga Zepp LaRouche's involvement with meeting with the members of the German Nationwide Doctors Association. You mentioned Professor Hoppe in particular. Her article will be in EIR Online. It'll be an Executive Intelligence Review. And people know the website on which you're now listening, those of you who are listening live, www.larouchepub.com. And the phone number, because this is a campaign, as Tony Chaikin said, call at any time 1-800 in the United States, 1-800-929-7566. Now, on this, I just see the headline of Helga Zepp LaRouche's write-up of what Wolfgang Lugo was just describing, the meeting of the Doctors Association, is "The Voters Must Decide, Stop Rationing Healthcare." And that brings us, I'd like to come back to the United States with some of these euphemisms about reforming health care. We have to bring costs down. We can give health care to everyone in the United States as long as we give quality care, but we cut the cost drastically, that kind of stuff. Before we get to Tony, on who's who that's making up this behavioral manipulation kind of stuff and what they're doing, Diana, you've been, what do you want to say about this and what you've been trying to do to intervene with the LPAC TV spots that you've been doing? What have you been trying to hit at if, to reach people to understand what we're really facing?
Well, yeah, I mean, for those who don't know, our LPAC, LPAC.com, LaRouchePAC.com operation is geared towards a much broader audience. And well, we have we've been producing a series of LaRouchePAC TV shorts exposing the Nazi genocide policy in the domain of healthcare from different angles, from a historic angle. You know, we have a couple of pieces going through the Hitler, the actual Hitler useless eater policy. That's what the Nazis called their targeted population for euthanasia, for elimination, early into the Nazi movement under Hitler's 1939 decree for euthanasia. So we have a couple of videos that actually shed some light on that angle, what they did and what their intentions were and how far they went, right? Because for those of us, well, for us, we know now that, you know, their genocidal policy of euthanasia to begin with, I mean, it didn't end. It didn't end with, you know, just the aging, the mentally ill, the handicapped. It eventually, through the funding of Wall Street, and primarily British financiers, for example, Montagu Norman of the Bank of England, the head of the Bank of England, during the 1930s, 1940s, they had actually funded and perpetuated for the Nazi movement to continue this. And what we know now is that they've expanded, they had expanded their euthanasia policy into non-Aryan or otherwise healthy people. And it was a policy of genocide. It was a policy of population reduction. So we have some material on that, and we have a feature page on the LaRouche PAC website that actually takes you to various articles and all of our videos that have covered this element of the Nazi healthcare.
Thank you. And so, Tony, do you want to give, unless you want to take this somewhere else, but some kind of thumbnail profiles of this gang? This, you mentioned Larry Summers, Peter Orszag, these people that they're not just making a mistake. They were groomed, they're there, and they're right. Doing this, right?
Yeah, in April, Time magazine had an article alerting people to the fact that there was a group of 29 behavioral economists that were in charge of the whole economic and domestic policy of the Obama administration, that all the other people were not getting his ear. The LaRouche staff looked into this, and we found that there is a specific organization. It was called the Behavioral Economists Roundtable, or Behavioral Economics Roundtable, sponsored by the Russell Sage Foundation and the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation. And that this clique, it's a single tight-knit group that are promoting these policies of bailing out Wall Street and various kinds of genocidal ideas. They try to portray themselves as being some sort of liberals and with, say, humor and so forth. It's bizarre, totally bizarre, because these are heavy Nazis. We looked into the background of these organizations, the Russell Sage Foundation is a British Fabian Society creation inside the United States, going back to the early part of the 20th century, together with this other thing, the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation. Alfred P. Sloan, chairman of General Motors during the 1920s and 30s, was one of the most rabid Hitler supporters inside the United States. And both of these foundations promoted the Wall Street and English project of getting Hitler into power in Germany by 1933. These groups trained and sustain this group of Orszag and Summers, the people actually running now Obama's economic policy. In addition, as this specific healthcare proposal became the center of their concern, as the new thing that Obama's fighting for, to pay the banks by cutting healthcare and killing grandma, you bring in other elements of this old Nazi and old British consortium. One of them is the British agent George Soros, who back in the 1990s initiated a project called the the Death in America Project, and the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, the biggest pro-euthanasia agency that hijacked the money and the corporation Johnson & Johnson. It's an agency that took over that family's business. It's the Band-Aid company, and uses their billions of dollars to fund this kind of Nazi program for euthanasia. There's people that you may be familiar with who are part of this clique, a guy named Goolsbee, who was the chief economic advisor for Obama during the election campaign. Russell Sunstein, who was designated by Obama to be chief, regulatory chief. There's another guy named Henry Aaron, not the baseball player, but this is a Nazi economist. And all of these people are basing their program, and Russell and Orszag, the budget director, is basing his program on a British model, specifically British, that is the rationing of health care by specifically denying that health care to people over a certain age or people whose condition, such as kidney failure or something like this, is too expensive to deal with. And this model is to be imposed inside the United States. Peter Orszag, the U.S. government budget director, Obama's White House budget director, regularly goes to England to brief his teachers in Britain, in the British cabinet, and at the London School of Economics. His first job out when he graduated from Princeton, he went to England, and his first job was working directly for the Fabian Society's project at the London School of Economics for years.
This was in the early 90s?
Yeah, mm-hmm. In the 1990s. And he went to Russia, employed in Russia by his Fabian teacher at the London School of Economics, Lord Layard, who assigned him to participate in a project run by this whole clique of these behavioral economics people, including including Orszag, including Larry Summers and others in Russia, to privatize what were the formerly state-run enterprises and loot them. Instead of having Western-style industry and high living standards, they said, let's just take Russia down. Now that the communists are out of power, we can destroy Russia instead of building it up. And this was a British project. Orszag worked directly. He was employed by the British, who then sent him back to the United States to get into U.S. government things like cutting Social Security and cutting medical care. Orszag himself was at the Brookings Institution, and during the fight with George Bush over whether he should be allowed to cut Social Security, Orszag worked with Republicans to undermine the Democrats who were fighting this thing. We still beat Bush on this, despite Orszag's attempts on this. We have in the White House a council that has been set up called the Federal Council on Comparative Effectiveness Research. That council, which involves Orszag's deputy, Ezekiel Emanuel, brother of Rahm Emanuel, that council is tasked with drawing up a list of procedures that will be allowed and procedures that will not be allowed to American doctors. I'm talking about all doctors, private and public, so that they can impose things like electronic medical records across the boards and take this terrible situation we already have with HMOs and make this 50 times worse under an explicitly Nazi plan to say that people will be denied under a centralized government program, denied health care that would otherwise keep them alive. Mr. Emmanuel, who's the leading director of the Federal Council, has written articles on physician-assisted suicide as a cost-saving measure. He prefers, instead of suicide, he personally prefers simply withdrawing care, that is euthanasia, in across the boards to people personally committing suicide. It's much more cost-effective. His co-author of one of those articles, who's a kind of historian of this whole movement, a woman named Margaret Batten, she's at the University of Utah. She wrote a book or an article on what we can learn from Germany, and she has explained that the euthanasia movement, the new movement for following in the footsteps of Hitler, is really based on the teachings of Friedrich Nietzsche, who is writing about a heroic death of people who don't want to lead boring lives and therefore would kill themselves. Many of these people, Orszag, his deputy Ezekiel Emanuel, and many of these fascist economists are associated with something called the Hastings Center, which is the pro-euthanasia think tank in the United States that is promoting the idea that you have to have the public accept the idea of death as at the core of life, instead of they were set up in 1969 at the time of the first moon landing to counter the American optimism of that time and to promote a change in the philosophy of Americans, to go more along with the British crown philosophy, which is that those people in the who are under the leaders of society have to learn to submit to being underlings. And when you get a crisis like this, they have to peacefully submit to being killed in order to save the money and save the status of those financiers that are going bankrupt now. That's what this is about. This is a choice. Either we get this gang of Wall Street and London out of power, crush their influence by crushing Larry Summers and Peter Orszag and these Nazi doctors, get them out, or we go into a dark age worse than what we had with Hitler.
Right. Now, let me interpose one thing here, because, Tony, you mentioned that this is a straight platform to say certain people have to die because we're going to keep taking the resources and we're going to keep giving to this echelon of financial interests. And people should know that you're talking that the what's called managed care, health maintenance organizations, other kinds of things, preferred providers, whatever, wasn't always there. It started around 1973, only 5 years or so after Medicare and Medicaid was passed in the United States, after the moon landing, you know, this kind of thing. But today, there are about 150 million Americans enrolled in some form of managed care. And behind them are 5 to 10 major corporate entities whose owners include J.P. Morgan, include Goldman Sachs, include, you know, it's that blatant is all I'm saying. And the LaRouche Political Action Committee has been leading the charge to put this in the forefront, that this should just be stopped. It can be rolled back. Like in Washington, D.C., the LaRouche Youth Movement intervened this week in one of these kinds of foundation meetings that of the entities you've been describing. One was called the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. They just had a meeting 48 hours ago. But the thing is here, this question of getting across to citizens that this has to be stopped in the sense of it's not true that resources are limited. Put it on that way. Diana, you've, besides the specific LPAC TV shorts on the healthcare propaganda, the Nazi medicine threat itself, You've also been involved, right, for some time in organizing to say it's just a complete lie that resources are limited, right?
Well, yeah, that's the problem that that Lynn always addresses. That, I mean, people have been brainwashed by this idea of monetarism. I mean, since Truman came into office, since the post World War II era, you've had an upsurge in, you know, white collar type of work, and people have disassociated themselves more and more from a policy of industrialism, from a policy of actual productivity, and with that comes along this shift in how people think about economics. And I mean, what people have been taught as part of the educational system in the 60s and the 70s onward onto today is that it's a policy of environmentalism, of rabid environmentalism, that the Earth's resources are limited, that there's no way we can control that, and that, you know, the more people there are, the more vulnerable the environment and the world tends to be, because we're consuming and we're emitting all these we're emitting all these pollutions, we're killing the planet, and that type of philosophy is very convenient in light of implementing fascist austerity, right? You have a population where people have already been susceptible to ideas of environmentalism, wrong ideas of environmentalism, and you have a situation where they need to implement certain fascist austerity policies, and people go with it.
Yeah, you know, I think that in order to understand the fight that LaRouche is waging against this Obama craziness, go back and look at the medical discoveries and the medical advances, including every aspect of public health, not just medicine. And you have to match all of those discoveries with the breakthroughs in resources that we made in the United States by discovering how to use coal, how to use oil, how to use uranium, how to harness electricity from water power, how to speed people, you know, across the continent in trains, how to use electricity to transmit thought. And how to bring about modern times by discovering the principles in nature. And these discoveries about sanitation, about microbiology, Pasteur, and everything else, were part of a radical shift in the world brought about by the American idea of rapid progress as the purpose of the nation. So that the resource base that exists as you get into the 20th century was many, many times the resource base that existed earlier. And people in the 19th century and 20th century who made brilliant discoveries connected to medicine and public health were part of this kind of shift upward in the potential of human beings to exist on this planet by the conquest of science and by the creation of a really productive citizenry that could function at a high level, and they needed medical care and they needed to have a good culture to back them up. You spend money on investments of that sort. Now, the same group in London and they're slaves in Wall Street. You can be a slave and a billionaire at the same time, like George Soros. The British imperial way of thinking was only imposed in this country by the murder of the Kennedy brothers, Martin Luther King, and so forth. You would never have had Nixon without those murders. You would never have had Kissinger without those murders, without the imposition of follies like the Vietnam War. So you get this change in the 70s of the strategy of our country to dump manufacturing, to dump the space program, to dump nuclear power, and at the same time bring in HMOs and bring in this culture of death where you say, learn to give up the future. Learn to just get money for yourself or take dope and don't worry about the future of mankind. So this is what the fight is about. The idea of limited resources is a piece of insanity, because all of the resources we have are a result of man's discoveries. And we can continue to do that in an unlimited fashion if we don't get the British to get us to kill ourselves off.
I can't help but take advantage of Dr. Lilge. Wolfgang, you've given thought over the years to the frontiers of medical science, such as the, you could call it isotopic medicine, for scanning, for diagnostics, for treatment. Do you want to add anything in particular on medical science about what we could and should be doing?
Definitely we are. I mean, the potential is still there. It's simply denied to institutions, to researchers, to actually come forward with new ideas, new technologies, and so forth. So we have, especially when you are looking at the flu pandemic threatening from starting from Mexico and threatening now all the world, or the flu, the bird pandemic, flu pandemic, which was still pending from starting from Asia. These kind of things are actually challenges to scientists to come up with methods which actually understand what is going on there, how the pandemic process is going on, what is changing in the virus, how you can actually counteract these things which are not not at all understood today. So these kind of epidemiological but also microbiological challenges have to be mastered on a much higher level of scientific thinking than scientists have been able so far, because if you reduce it to reductionist methods, you will never come up with a solution. So we need to understand life as a completely new and as a in a sense like Pasteur, like other great researchers, Vernadsky and so forth in the past have done, because human life is a completely different domain of existence, which also must be understood in that form, and only then you can actually can come up with a positive idea of what life is all about.
Right, thank you. And I'll just throw in here that some of the congressmen are falling all over themselves, the centers, to distinguish themselves for saying, to outdo themselves for saying, we should curb technology. It's too costly. Senator Bingaman said this. Senator Baucus, we call Senator Bogus, said this, that the problem is it's completely wrong, as we could get into. It's completely untrue, but that's how miserable it is. That takes us to an email that I just want to take note of here. It's from Brian. Brian C., thank you, that I'll throw out to our panel, because Brian says, is there any way to get a block of 10 Congress people to back LaRouche's policies? Now, I said Congress is in recess. They're highly accessible right now. But I'll let anyone who wants to pitch in on this. I think Tony wants to start.
Well, Senator Baucus had a press conference to sell some of this Nazi crap. And the press conference itself was sponsored by the Kaiser Foundation of Kaiser Permanente. The killers, the HMO killers, they're paying for him to say these things. There are decent people in Congress, and they are being quieted by the overriding corruption of Nancy Pelosi, Barney Frank, and these Nazi doctors in the administration. So what we have to say is, if you want to get anything out of the Congress, you're going to have to get the people of the country in the states, in politics, and out of politics, to raise holy hell, to come with the pitchforks and the torches, to burn the behind of the Congress and force a revolt by these slaves in Congress. We are at the ninth hour. They're trying to pass this Nazi program by July. This is not about whining to some congressman to take our case as if we're pitiable. We have to crush their balls. And we're talking about Orszag and Summers, and force Obama to back down. and to get under the management of people that know something who are already in his own administration. He won't listen to them. That's the issue. You have to get there with people with sharpened stakes to get at the Congress and say, you do what we say, and you got to get the leadership from below. That's what we're stirring up all over the country.
Right. Diana, I don't know if you want to add anything to that, since you were in the catbird seat on a lot of activity of the led by the LaRouche youth movement around the country, not just in Washington and Boston. There have been town meetings. If you want to throw anything in here.
Yeah, I mean, one thing is that we have regional events, town hall meetings that are posted on the website. You know, basically town hall meetings to get people in the population enfolded into our organizing process. I mean, to be exposed to the highest ideas, to basically organize our elected officials with. Now, I mean, like Tony said, there's no way you can go to the Congress, you know, go to the Congress directly and plead a case with them. You as a population, you and your extended networks, your friends, your family, you know, your extended political networks, you should get out the word, get them to become LaRouche PAC members, and, you know, read what we have on the website, watch the videos, and understand the type of policies and flanks and fights we're leading from the highest standpoint, from the highest ideas. Because otherwise, I mean, you can see from these from the usual campaigns that are waged where they go through the bureaucracy, you know, they're not looking at the fight from the highest standpoint, they really go nowhere. So you really have to situate yourself if you want to win from a historical standpoint.
Right. And I'll emphasize, I don't have to, for Brian, our emailer, because he's online and listening to the LaRouche show, which is on LaRouchePub.com. But many connect by telephone message services and so forth in the course of the week. That go, as Diana said, go to LaRouchePAC.com, LaRouchePAC.com, for these videos, for these organizing materials, especially, let me tell you, and also to contribute resources, because there is waiting to go a mass pamphlet that's lacking only the resources for printing, as well as for supporting all of these town meetings and all the political activity, but ready to go, that has the quotes, that has the 1939 Hitler decree that Tony Chaikin just read, that has the rundown on the HMOs, and that has the opposite. The tradition of the American system, especially after the Second World War, to build up the hospital system all across the United States and to collaborate internationally on the same principle. It's called the Hill-Burton Principle for the 1946 law that started it. It was named after Lister Hill. He was a senator from Alabama that worked on the Tennessee Valley Authority and also had a program to industrialize the South, a bill to put in, but it was blocked by the Truman administration. But his fellow sponsor was a Republican from Ohio named Harold Burton. But that's in this material I'm recommending to you, that you can find both on the LaRouchePub.com website, but also in an adapted form. It's ready to go for mass circulation, because we can jam it up right away and we can kill it off. And on this, it's not just a single issue, obviously, as all our panel has described. Get rid of Larry Summers, Peter Orszag, cut this control over our institution of the presidency, and we can rebuild the country. We can save lives literally in the course of that. I think Tony's itching to add something.
I just wanted to say, we are now flooding the White House itself and the military and the State Department and the intelligence community with our videos and leaflets. People are stuffing them in the desks all around Obama. And we're making our Nazi opponents paranoid. Obama himself got really pissed off at Lyndon LaRouche for his two webcasts, where LaRouche said, you have to get off this Nero kick. You have to get back to a Roosevelt approach, or you're going down. And this comes down to forcing an explosion of hatred against these Nazis. Obama should come down on the side of the population that's going for what LaRouche says and not go down with the Nazis, because those Nazis have to be taken down. That's the issue.
Can I just ask you a question also, Tony?
Yes.
Is there, to your knowledge, any resistance in the medical community itself to these kind of things? Especially, I mean, also in the United States, there's something like the Hippocratic Oath, binding doctors to, well, to a certain ethical foundation of acting. And I wonder if people see coming what the Obama administration is planning. Isn't there also an outcry from these circles?
The way this is working is that they're rallying around Lyndon LaRouche, is that we're seeing this in the field. A couple of days ago, we were organizing at UCLA Medical Center, doctors and nurses signing up with LaRouche like crazy, because we are putting forward this principle. The enemy is directly saying that the Hippocratic Oath has to be broken, that you have to get rid of that. And the doctors are the institutions of medicine in the United States in two ways are completely compromised. One way is through the control of the medical profession by the financial community, through the HMOs and insurance and so forth.
Their jobs.
That's right. So this is a control by the enemy directly. The other way is through the medical education, where and Soros boasted about this in his death his project Death in America. He said in 1994 that they planned within 3 years to have have agents of that project in one quarter of the medical centers and medical schools of the United States. And it's gone way beyond that at this point. So that the projection of literally taking down the medical profession has been going on for the last couple of decades. Right now, we have come to a point of a change. The change is that since the mid 2007 point, there is a completely unstoppable crash of the world financial system. And in that catastrophe of the final breakdown of this crazy speculative system, the enemy is trying to make a sharp, sudden shift to the worse in this whole process, to say you must quickly agree to mass murder. So under these circumstances, we have a chance to rally people who are otherwise frightened and dismayed that they're losing their jobs and their houses. And it could go either way, because people who are frightened might be frightened enough. If you didn't have what we're doing, they might be frightened enough to go along with Hitlerism. And that's what these guys are counting on. Ezekiel Emanuel said exactly this in October. He wrote in the at Huffington Post, you can look up, October 13th, 2008, that this crisis that was then going on and Bush was president is their chance to impose drastic cutbacks in health care because people are frightened at losing their jobs. We say this crisis is also our chance to rally the public to defend their lives and defend the future by forcing these Nazi scum out of the government.
Right. And another manifestation, Wolfgang, of the incipient resistance comes when you mention the flu. You have non-clinicians but who are public health workers all across the country. And with the collapse, 12,000 were laid off last year. That's a lot when you figure it's epidemiologists, laboratory technicians in all the 50 states here. And that the echelon of public health workers and everything else has been themselves activated, that don't talk to us about fighting the flu, even the seasonal flu. We have a crisis on our hands, and when that's intersected by the LaRouche Political Action Committee presence, getting out the ammunition of who's behind this Hitler solution instead of return to the American system solution. It's dynamite. And they've been testifying to Congress, not lobbying, but we're talking about people saying we can't we have a crisis that's very immediate. Diana, it's in the final minutes, and I know you met with Lyndon LaRouche this morning, as you do periodically, and he always has good guidance for how you should lead the fight and not get deterred. But do you want to say anything more to what Wolfgang asked about the upcoming plans of the LaRouche Political Action Committee, the youth movement, and so forth?
Well, actually, what Lynn brought up today at the meeting with various, I guess, leaders of the LaRouche Political Action Committee organization.
Yes,
he made the point that there are people out there. He made a point about clinical insanity. He made a point about clinical insanity. He says people aren't born stupid. People aren't born insane. For example, if you were brought up in a sane culture, you would not accept what is being uttered by the administration right now. You will not accept the bailout that is being passed by the Congress. But stupidity is clinical. You grow to adopt it. And what's the problem with people today in adopting Nazi healthcare, in adopting the policy of bailout, peer monetarism to continue this insane financial system, is a problem of popular opinion. It's exactly that, and there are very few people in the world, including Lynn himself, who actually realize that and are willing to speak up. And then there are those who realize it but are afraid to speak up. And then there are those who are just insane, who are just pure evil, who are promoting these policies. And what we're doing as this small core of people, this category of people Lynn described, who actually know what's going on and who have the solutions and who are leading the fight, what we're trying to do is we're going to recruit those organic leadership out there who are just brewing. They know it's insane. They know what's going on is crazy. And we should provide them with the ammunition and with the leadership to steer them in the right course, because the solutions are there. In the healthcare scenario, we had a Hill-Burton system before the HMO system, which functioned great. It was going in the right direction, and you also have what we've emitted as an organization, as policy, and the principle of the American system. So basically, all we need to do is expose these behaviorists on their weak flank, which is the Nazi stuff. If we expose them, the solutions are there. If we win this fight, just like we won the Social Security fight back in 2005, we can win these fights.
Well, thank you. I think this is coming to a conclusion. We thank Tony Chaykin for giving us a lot of who the enemy is. And I know he's had to spend time reading terrible books about rationing. What's the name of it, Tony?
Can We Say No, written by Henry Aaron. The case for rationing healthcare.
And so he'll keep up that documentation. And I recommend everyone do as Diana said. We can win this. We can recruit. And I ask you if you wish, on the EIR News Service to connect with this and get this information. The phone is 1-800-929-7566. You know we're on www.larouchepub.com. And so I thank for joining us Dr. Wolfgang Lilge in Berlin, Diana Wong, and Tony Chaykin. And this is the conclusion of the LaRouche Connection, May 23rd, 2009. Be here May 30th from 3 to 4 Eastern U.S. time every Saturday. This is Marcia Mary Baker signing off. Thank you very much.
Thank you.